And how can communication about COVID-19 be improved to get behaviour change without having to go to lockdown? A feature of the state and federal government's responses to the pandemic has been, I suppose, a scarcity of media campaigns. And those which have emerged have tended to be pretty basic without much nuanced messaging. Can we learn anything from Australia's experience of anti-smoking and cancer prevention campaigns over the years? Professor Melanie Wakefield has an international reputation for her work in this field. Melanie is head of the Centre for Behavioural Research in Cancer at Cancer Council Victoria. Welcome back to the Health Report, Melanie.
Hi, Norman.
What's the evidence that any, you know, that public health campaigns can change behaviour?
Well, we have very good evidence about that, and one of the demonstrable successes is the decline in smoking in Australia, and the role of our hard-hitting mass media campaigns that has helped to bring that that behaviour, to change that behaviour in ways that are unparalleled in many other countries.
We'll come back to what was in those. A lot of people in the COVID, in talking about COVID-19, reflect back to the Grim Reaper campaign with HIV back in the 80s, and the Health Report's audience, being very young, will not remember that, but essentially it was the Grim Reaper with lots of smoke coming underneath this hooded person with a scythe coming to carve swathes through the community. Did it work?
Yeah, I think those kind of campaigns are really important because they harness an emotional element, and that's very motivational for people. It attracts attention, it cuts through, it gets people talking, and then once you've got their attention, you can give them more information about how they can reduce their risk. And that kind of recipe, I suppose, is something that we've used in tobacco control, and it's been really effective. And I think there's probably room for that kind of approach now in messaging about COVID as well.
Well, let's unpick that a little bit. I mean, so what you're saying there is you beat me up emotionally, and so I'm putty in your hands for the message that I should be giving up cigarettes. So that's fear, isn't it?
It is. It can be fear. I mean, it's not fear for the sake of it, if you know what I mean. I think that one of the things that is really important in messaging, in public messaging, is that people need to understand or have the threat made personally relevant for them. They're not going to be able to follow rules and not feel inclined to follow them unless they understand that the risk is personally relevant to them. And so the way that we have done that in tobacco control is through explaining how tobacco-related disease, what it's like to have a tobacco-related disease, showing compelling personal stories of people who are suffering, what kind of damage is done to the body. And I think that it's important that people understand that. Otherwise, it's very difficult for them to understand what it would be like to have that kind of condition. And similarly with COVID, I think that we could do a bit more to help people come to an understanding of what it's like to experience that condition.
So we haven't exploited the personal story enough. What about, I mean, the other technique that's used with tobacco is disgust. You show a tobacco, you know, a lung with cancer or a lung with dripping with tar. I assume there's probably not much scope for disgust in COVID-19.
I would think that that wouldn't be necessarily a favoured pathway to go down. But, I mean, up to now, most of the messaging has been delivered using a sort of an instructional rules-based approach, telling people repeatedly what to do. And I think, to give government credit, this was quite appropriate at the beginning because everyone did need to know what to do, and they needed to know it quickly. And I think that now, as time goes on, though, we know it's going to be a longer haul. Many people still don't know anyone who's been severely affected by COVID. And so you might understand that they would think, well, I probably won't get it, or if I get it, it won't be serious. It only affects older or sicker people. So I think a really important kind of place to go to with the messaging would be to move towards an emotional or motivational approach to make the threat of the virus much more personally relevant and real for people, and then and thereby give them good reasons to follow the rules. And interestingly, today, Victoria has just released this kind of campaign showing people who have experienced COVID and just how serious it is.
So would you nuance that for young people and different communities?
Absolutely. It's really important to do that. And there will be examples. Unfortunately, there are real examples across the board, not just in Victoria, but of course across the population, of people who have unfortunately contracted this virus. And it's been dreadful for them for weeks and months on end. And I think having people talk about that, even younger people, can really bring to life what the risks might be for people.
Why do you think governments have not jumped on this? It really has been disappointing when we've got some great creative talent in our advertising community as well as our public health community.
Well, it's interesting, in Victoria they just have today, in fact.
But it's taken them a while.
It has taken them a while, but I would have to say that the circumstances have been really difficult, and this is quite unusual. I mean, normally when you're running a public health campaign, you have a segment of the population that you want to change and need to change. Here we've got the whole population that have to change, which is extraordinary. So in the main, governments have relied on news media, press releases, some paid messaging as well to reinforce. But again, that's, as I say, that's been delivered using a fairly instructional style. And I think that now that it's clear that it's going to be a longer haul, this is where the experience from public health can come to the fore and really be helpful.
Melanie, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Norman.
Professor Melanie Wakefield is Head of the Centre for Behavioural Research in Cancer at Cancer Council Victoria. And this is RN's Health Report, and I'm Norman Swan.